Okay, if you would turn your Bible to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I appreciate the music. Everyone who plays and sang, it was really good. I know that sometimes people just get so used to singing the hymns without any feeling. They just go through the rigmarole and all that. But I really want to encourage you as a church to not take it for granted that this church still sings hymns. I've been in over 200 churches I've been around. And the music that is coming into our churches is horrific. And more and more people, and one of the things I was talking to Pastor Stevens about is, he said, are you pretty booked up? I said, no, not like I used to be. Because one of the things is they're having a lot more music groups in and having revival with music than they are actually preaching. I don't know, as far as I was, you know, reading the Word of God, I mean, I think music, you know, leads us to worship God and then preaching follows. Maybe I'm a dinosaur. I don't know, but I know that I really feel like I don't fit sometimes. You know what I mean? But anyway, so I'm just doing what I can as the Lord provides and opens doors for us to preach. And it's good to be here tonight. Thank the brother for opening his home to us today and feeding us. And it's a blessing. You know, it's good food. There's nothing like being in someone's home and the food is terrible. Boy, it brings a tear to my eye thinking that, amen. But painful memories, you know. How is it? It's good, you know. Mark chapter 3. And that was good food. It really was. Praise the Lord. Amen. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. Now, pastor was praying tonight in the men's prayer meeting there and talked about the devil and about him getting a foothold. And that's what I'll be preaching about tonight. And I know the Lord wants you to preach this. It's one of those things I'm like, well, I'm just going to preach. And, you know, if you're upset with me, I'm leaving in a couple of days anyway. All right, verse 22. And the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth thee out. Devils are accusing of Jesus Christ of being filled with the devil. And he says, and he called them unto him and sent unto them in parables. Jesus is talking now. How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand but hath an end. So when you read the context, you find out very quickly that what Satan really desires is division. And authority must be recognized in every facet of our life. When I was in the military, it didn't matter if the guy was a scumbag, sergeant first class. You just did what you were told and that was it. No questions asked. No opinion given. You just did what you were told. If you don't obey authority in the military, then you cannot have a military running at its most efficient force. It must be recognized in a workplace for the business to be running at its best. Authority must also be recognized in the church. In the church. Amen. Or it will become ineffective for the cause of Christ. So the same also goes for the home. And Satan wants division to happen in your home. And Satan will come into your home if you let down your guard. One person said this, that rebellious children, wives, or people within the household are legal ground for Satan to attack. And I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. Now, the Lord wants peace in your home, but the devil wants problems in your home. The Lord wants your home to be a haven from this world, but the devil wants it to be a living hell. And, you know, my son, he's a real blessing. And my oldest boy, and one time we were going through Proverbs, the devotions, and it talks about a man dwelling in a wilderness and with an angry and a contentious woman. And my son, out of the mouth of babe and suckling, said, Dad, maybe that's why a lot of guys go hunting. I say, that's pretty good observation, you know. But it's great. Now, he said it, I didn't. But I think it's funny. But the devil knows exactly what to bring into your home. He knows that contention causes division. He knows that cockiness causes division. He knows that criticism done the wrong way causes division. He knows that carnality causes division. When you got the husband wanting to live for God and the wife doesn't, boy, that causes some problems. Or you got the woman who does and the husband don't, that causes some problems. That's why you young people need to marry the right person the right time, the first time, that's it. Because once you're married, you're stuck. I mean, they're pretty. Well, don't worry, they're going to get old, and he's a hunk, he'll become a chunk. So I'll just tell you right now, you know what I mean? It's going to happen. So what was my wife going to look like? Well, look at her mom, and that's what it'll be 30 years from now. Look at the dad. That'll be your superhero. Anyway, amen. Amen. Anyway, but I want to get into trouble here, so I better stop. But carnality causes division. It really, really does. It's really messed up. And see a woman come in and saying, you know, pray for my husband. He doesn't want me to come to church, and he doesn't want this, and he doesn't want that, or my wife's not supportive of me. And it's discouraging. It's a shame to see a grown man, 38 years old, 40 years old, 45 years old, be led by a woman. I know I already stepped on some toes, but, you know, going around like a puppy behind her, well, you know, my wife really doesn't like this church. Why? Why does she like this church? Is she afraid of the preacher because he's a man? He'll make a man out of your husband? I mean, why would she be afraid of that? I had a guy one time in South Africa say, I would come, but my wife doesn't like him. I'm like, well, tell her to grow up. I don't know what to say. Come, you know, because there's no other church like it. I'm like, you know, this is the introduction, by the way. So confusion causes division. So when each person in the home doesn't recognize their place of authority, their position, that can cause some division. Everyone must know their place in the home, you know. And God spoke of marriage in the unifying terminology such as cleaving and one flesh. And the unity between a husband and wife is the very foundation of a family's success or a family's unity. Unity is of absolute necessity. And whether it's on the family budget or on raising children or disciplining them or determining the spiritual direction of the family, whatever the issue may be, the husband and wife must be united together and be in agreement for God's blessing to be on their home. And the Bible makes it very clear that the husband has the final say. I'm tired of this humanism that's crept into our churches that it's 50-50. It's not 50-50, it's 51-49. Amen. And I know that's not well liked, but that's why people are working on their second, third, fourth divorce, you know. I talked to a guy, and he said, I'm done with marriage. I said, really? He said, I'm done with it, man. He said, man, this last one didn't last long at all. I said, well, how long did it last? He said, a month. And he says, this fifth one ended terribly. I said, fifth? What, is he trying to catch up to Elizabeth Taylor or something? I mean, but see, you know, Satan is, he's working overtime in these last days to destroy the family. I don't care what the government says. Homosexuality is still an abomination. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So we're commanded the Word of God to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And there's many devices that Satan has. I understand that. There are many tactics that he uses. I just want to give you a few of them tonight. And I want to preach to you a message titled tonight, Is the Devil Down at Your House? I know some of you may think you married him, but is the devil, amen, down at your house? Let's pray. God, it's good to be saved. I thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that fountain was open for me. And Lord, I became a child of God through the new birth. And Lord, I'm glad I'm still saved. I'm glad, God, I can never lose it. And Lord, I do pray that you bless this time. I know when I preach on the home, Lord, it's not one of those messages that people run the aisles and shout and say amen. Lord, I know when I preach on the home, the devil hears it, doesn't like it. So I already pray for a hedge of protection around my family. Cover us with your precious blood. Protect us from the wiles of the devil. Help our marriage and our kids to not be destroyed. Help me not to give place to the devil. Help these people not to give place to the devil. And those who have, well, Lord, help them to get it right. I know you want me to preach this, Lord. So I just pray, God, that whatever the results may be, I pray that people are right with you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first of all, we're going to look at a lot of scripture. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3. Now, when the Lord showed up in the garden, he appeared and he spoke to who first? Well, who did he speak to first? He spoke to Adam, right? So the first person I'm going to speak tonight is to the men. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 25. Look at this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse 19. Husbands, again, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So number one, the husband can cause the devil to come down to his house by, I need some group participation. What's the number one thing that every woman wants to feel, or I should say every wife wants to feel from her husband? Thank you. It's great. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a short message for those of you who answer. Amen. Number one, when the husband does not demonstrate love towards his wife, the devil will come down. When a husband does not demonstrate love towards his wife, the devil will come down the house. She said, how do you know? A woman needs to feel deeply loved. And I got news for you, King James Cowboys, by the way. You need to love your wife. Your wife's not a doormat. She's the weaker vessel, which means you're the weak vessel. Real deep, isn't it? You ever think about that? She's weaker, that means you're weak. And you are to treat your wife like a lady. You're to treat her like a princess. You're to treat her like a queen. Oh, I want to be king of my house. Well, you know what? You're not going to be king if you don't treat her like a queen. Well, when I met her, she was different. Mm-hmm. And you have messed her up. And you have made her mean. And you have made her antagonistic. And you have made her withdrawn. You have made her defensive because, well, you know, I said I would love her the day we married. I got news for you. You got to show love towards your wife. And she needs it. And if you don't show it, someone else will. A woman just recently left her husband. I won't go into details because I go from church to church to church to church. And things get out on the internet. And they get on YouTube. And they get on sermon audio. And so I got to be very careful. But a young woman left her husband. And because he was always out on the road working. And he was never there to kind of cheer her up the first year of marriage. You know what? A woman who's uncertain of her husband's love will never feel secure. You can tell when a woman is secure. And you can tell when a woman knows her husband loves her, and when those who don't, they're a nervous wreck. They're very emotionally unstable. Now, man, how much does your wife know you love her tonight? When's the last time you told her? Well, she should know. Well, when's the last time you told her? When's the last time you demonstrated it? When's the last time you took her out to eat? And I'm not talking about Mickey D's either. I'm talking about you took her out to a nice restaurant. Well, you know, I ain't got the money, but you bought yourself a rifle. You bought yourself some boots. You bought some stuff. When's the last time you took your wife out to a nice restaurant? Maybe I should switch back to hell. I got a lot better reception. Amen. I mean, folks, I'll be honest with you. God said preach this. So I'm like, all right, Lord, out. You know, I mean, a woman needs to be told over, a wife needs to be told over and 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 over that you love her. Why? I don't know. I wish I had the answer. Maybe we go to Dr. Phil and ask. I don't know, but I tell you this, that God made him that way. So ask him. You know, I know one thing, my wife likes flowers. One day my wife came to me and goes, we had a death in the family. I thought, man, who died? And she was talking about the flowers, amen. She was trying to tell me in a nice way, like, go get me some more flowers. So I did, you know. And when I mean get her flowers, I don't mean the half dead ones at Walmart either, by the way, you know. Isn't it funny, though? I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny that people want to buy the best of flowers on the casket. You know? Love can be shown by you taking her out to dinner, you know. Love can be shown by you holding the door open for her. I teach the boys, hold the door open for your mom, your sister, you know. Do it, you know. It's chivalry. One time a guy was standing before the judge, he said, Your Honor, I feel that you're being ridiculous. He said, most women would love to have a husband open the door, he said, and still believes in chivalry. So I was only opening the door for her out of chivalry. And the judge said, well, you know, I cannot believe that chivalry was your motivation while driving 65 miles per hour. One time a woman and her husband got off the plane and they were in the airport. She goes, darling, let's make the people think that we've been married a long time. He goes, okay, no problem. Dear, carry the bags. Amen. Guy one time came home. I like telling jokes. If you don't, well, sorry. But a guy came home to his wife one time and said, guess what? I found a great job. Starts 10 a.m., finishes 2 p.m., no overtime, no weekends, and it pays $800 a week. And his wife said, man, that's great to hear. He says, yeah, I thought so too. You start Monday. Now, I won't hammer on this, but I still believe in Titus 2, you know. And I still believe that if we did it the way God would have us do it, say, what do you mean? Well, the woman should be at home. And there's a lot less temptation for the woman to mess around if she's not out there in the workforce with men who want to mess around. I know that's not popular, have at it, but I can tell you that it's worked for us. Even when I was in Bible school, I worked two jobs, went to Bible school at night, pastor knows what it's like, and God provided, and we still live off of the income I have, and God still provides. Amen. You start Monday. But, so how, So how can you demonstrate love towards your wife? That's the key. Well, let me give you a few ways real quickly. It's by doting on her. You say, what do you mean doting? It's like just being hung up on. And your wife needs you to shower her with affection. Your wife needs the kisses. They need it, you know. I don't understand how a guy is too embarrassed to tell his wife he loves her when he's on the phone at work. She's like, I love you. And wait, that long pause. Yeah. See you later. You know, why are you embarrassed? I mean, are you ashamed? I mean, aren't you glad you're married? It's healthy to be married. Did you know that? Mentally healthy. People who are single have a 7.5% higher chance of being in a mental institution than those who are married. And that's the truth. Amen. But, you know, holding your wife in your arms means a lot to them. You know, my wife's very huggy, kissy, affectionate. I mean, my whole attitude is like the typical guy, where's my food? That's all I care, you know. My food's on the table. I know you love me. That's, you know. But my wife wants me to hug her, you know. And you know what? It's grown on me over the years, you know. But I don't mean in a bad way. I'm just not that kind. I grew up in Philadelphia. I'm like, you know, get on my face. What are you looking at? You know, but my wife needs it. I mean, I'm sure your wife likes it. And it wouldn't hurt you to do it. You know, by giving her undivided attention, that means paying attention. That means when you read the Song of Solomon, and I know that I think too many of our brethren go all with Christ in the church and they forget it's an actual husband and wife there. And there's a lot you can learn out of that. I'm not going to give you things about that stuff, but just read it later with an open mind between a husband and wife. And the bridegroom, what he does is he listens to his bride over and over and over and over again talk to him. He doesn't get weary with her voice. He says, let me hear thy voice. And sometimes guys get annoyed by their wife's voice and call them a nag and the old ball and chain and things like that. And, you know, don't be kind of hard on your wife because maybe she's just making a suggestion. Amen. So, hope you're happy tonight. Amen. I'll tell you what else to do by being willing to drop some things that can wait. One guy, his wife went into labor, and it was on the Super Bowl night, and she went herself. I don't know if I was married, if I was a woman, and I'm not, thank God I'm not, never want to be, don't even envy it, but if I was, I really think I'd hurt him. A lot. But your wife sometimes needs you to drop whatever you're doing to help her. You know, just take out the time, be there for her. And as men, we all have things to do, but nobody should be more important after God than your wife. My best friend, I know what you're saying, my best friend is Jesus. I know. Okay, I know. And if that was really true, you'd be a lot more spiritual. If he really was your best friend, but let's just be honest. Your best friend should be your wife. Period. I told my wife things that I would never tell anybody on the face of this planet. Never. I mean, my wife knows me very, very well. And I thank God for my wife. And I mean, I'm not being rude. When I'm on a family day, I'm not answering my phone. I don't care whatever happened. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be bothered because my family comes first. Because I love my wife, and right now our marriage is good, and I want to continue that way. And there's nothing wrong with being happy with your wife and falling in love with your wife. You should be crazy about her. I mean, weren't you when you met her? You couldn't get her off your mind. Oh, I can't wait to see her. It's been a whole 8 hours since I last saw her. Remember how eager you were when you came home? You were so angry. Honey, where are you at? And so excited. She came to the door and gave you a kiss. And now it's like, oh, food's in the microwave. Really? Remember when you called? I love you. Well, you just left like 5 minutes ago to go to work. I was like, I can't wait to see you. You love your wife tonight, man? I mean, you really love her? I love mine. Thank God for her. Can't get a better one, to be honest. No way. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. All right. I'll tell you what, it'll do a whole lot more for your marriage if you love your wife and show her you love her and mean that you love her. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 3, but I would have you know. Now, I didn't write this. Let everybody know, it's a disclaimer. God did. Holy Spirit, Paul wrote, head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Look at the next thing, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 22 through 24. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. You know, if everything was applied in these references on marriage, you wouldn't need any counseling. Ever. Ephesians chapter 5, I believe God knows what He's talking about, don't you? Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Isn't that interesting? Ever think about that? There are some women that have no problem submitting to another man. A boss, a preacher. You know, they'll make the preacher cookies, but never make their husband cookies. They'll get the coffee for their boss, but which is someone else's husband, but not their own. Isn't that funny how he says that, your own? Ever noticed that before? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So what's the wife supposed to do? So that the wives be subject, right, so about to their own husbands and everything. All right, so what's number two? The wife can cause the devil to come down to her house in various ways. And what's the number one thing that every man wants his wife to do? Oh, come on, guys, can't you answer? I mean, listen, we want submission, right? We want our wives to obey. We want our wives to follow us. We want our wives to be with us all the way. So one of the ways the devil can come down to the house and the marriage relationship into the home is by having the wife have a domineering spirit. Domineering. When I say lead the home, men, I don't mean leading it like a tyrant, by the way. I remember one time a guy, he went to a psychiatrist. He needed some counseling. He didn't know how to deal with his wife. And the psychiatrist said, look, you don't need your wife to henpeck you anymore. He said, you go home. You tell her who's boss. He said, you tell her how you're going to run things. You're the man. You're in charge. So he was excited about the news. The psychiatrist told him to do it. He said, you're going to go do it. So he ran out the door, slammed the door, got in the car, slammed the door, went home, slammed the door. And he said, let me tell you something, woman. He said, from now on, you're taking orders from me. He said, right now, he said, I want my supper. He said, you get on the table. You get out my best clothes because I'm going out with the boys at night. He said, you're going to stay at home where you belong. And here's another thing. You know who's going to comb my hair and fix my pants and tie my tie? She said, I certainly do. The Undertaker. Amen. What I'm talking about is the man being obeyed and respected by his wife. A man wants his wife to follow him to the ends of the world. A man wants to know that his wife is behind him and standing by him and with him and will follow him to the ends of the world. That's what a man wants to know. And a man wants his wife to willingly submit. There are some women I met through the years, I'm not being rude, they submit, but they don't do it with a good attitude at all. They do it because they have to, but not because they want to. Man wants his wife to willingly submit with a good, pleasant attitude. You know the old saying is true, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And that's true. And, you know, men really resent a bossy and domineering woman. Now, see, I don't know. I'm a difficult man. I'll be honest with you. Straightforward. I'm a difficult man. And something about being in the military. How many of you were in the military? Anybody in the military? All right. Now, I don't know what generation you were in. I was in a whole different generation. And that is when I went in one time, there was a woman that was a drill sergeant. Now, I don't know if it's an Italian attitude, but she was 5 foot, probably 95 pounds with all her gear on. And she came out, she was yelling at us men and cursing at us men. And I must admit, I was lost. And she really got on my nerves. And there was something about a woman this tall looking in my face and yelling at me and cursing me out that made me realize right then and there I never want to marry a yeller. Now, that's not slang southern term yellow. That's a yeller. And I have to admit, I really got annoyed with her yelling at me, and I wanted to yell at her back, but she would have made me drop into 20, so I just said, forget it, you know? Reminds me of a guy one time, his wife and he were fighting in the car, and man, she was berating him, and he got so angry, he just clammed up, he wouldn't talk. He's like, I'm not going to say nothing. And his wife sat in the back seat and just kept on pounding on the seat and yelling at her husband and chewing him out. And in her excitement, she pounded on the car door and it flew open. And several blocks later, one of the neighbors flagged them down and said, "Hey, you know, your wife fell out of the car back there." And the man looked over the back seat and turned to his neighbor and said, "Thank God." He said, "I thought I had lost my hearing." Now, men do not like their authority being constantly challenged. They really, really don't. Now, I'll be honest with you. I a good man doesn't mind getting an opinion from a good wife. And I thank God for the times I have listened to my wife. There's been times I'm like, it's like, you may want to think that through. I just be careful. You know how we guys are sometimes? We're ready to go and thrust people through, like Phineas with a spear. And I thank God for the times I listen to my wife. How about you, men? Are you glad for the times you've listened to your wife? The point I'm trying to make tonight is that the Lord will bless the home where the woman is willing to follow the husband's leading. And there's something about a domineering spirit that's connected with other things as well that will cause the pieces apart from the home. One of them is when a woman is deceitful. When a woman is deceitful. Through the years, I've learned that there are people that have been married and there are still lies being told. When you're not totally honest with your husband, he's going to withdraw from you. A husband will trust his wife with all his struggles and fears when he knows he can trust her. My wife does not get on the phone and talk to her parents about me. My wife does not try to get mom and dad involved in our affairs and our problems. She does not be deceitful, and she is not disrespectful. And she does not put me down in front of my friends, preachers, people. I mean, she respects me. My daughter has a servant's heart. She's 11 years old. I hope it continues that way. But she watched her mother serve me. She said, "Well, that's messed up. The woman was made for the man." It's not chauvinistic. See, I know what you're thinking. It's chauvinistic. It's not chauvinistic. That's Bible. So what my daughter notices is, mom gets dad something to drink, I'll do it. Mom gives some lunch, she'll make me a lunch. She doesn't have to, but I'm not going to discourage her. Hey, the more women in the home that can feed me, the happier I'll be. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about getting some concubines. I'm just talking about, wife and daughter. Praise the Lord, But, something about a man, I'll just be honest with you. Okay, let me give you an example. I'm in someone's house, right? And we were staying with this family, and the husband wasn't there. And food was put on the table, but it was where the husband sat. You guys going? You understand where I'm going? I don't sit at a man's head at the table. Does that make sense? There's just certain things you don't do. I mean, maybe I'm old school. That's the man's chair. That's his recliner. I don't do that. I don't come in someone's house and just, take over. Because that's a man's throne, his kingdom, whatever dominion. And a woman, when she disrespects her man, there's going to be some big problems. And I watched women put their husbands right in place. And I'm going, whew. And I'm thinking, thank God I ain't married to her. The Bible talks about a woman reverencing her husband. You know what that means? To honor and esteem. You know what else? When you discourage your husband, there's a domineering spirit. There's some women through the years, and I'm not being rude, I'm not being ugly, I'm not being mean. I know there's exceptions to the rule, but there have been some women through the years that have driven their husband away from serving God. When you tell your husband that he's not the spiritual leader of the home he ought to be, and that he's got a bad temper, and that, maybe this and that, and he makes foolish decisions, et cetera, et cetera, and you keep telling him that he's not what he should be, it eventually wears on the best of husbands. Let me let you in a little secret here, okay? Men already know their failures. All right? We know we are. So we got God telling us we're messed up. We got the devil telling us. And then, you're the advocate. There you go. Thank you. I mean, I already got. And see, here's what you need to understand about men. Men need to be a success somewhere. Whether it's sports, they go play at the Y with some men, or whether it's hunting or fishing and being avid in outdoor sportsmen, or whether it's at work, or whether it's at the gym, or whether it's at home, men need to feel like they're a success. Call it male ego, call it pride, call it whatever you will. And men really will eventually try to do their best to please their wife. They will. They love their wife. They'll do the best. But when they're told they're not what they should be over and over and over and over, they eventually give up. The Bible says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness, amen? It's a joke. There's something about a woman when she says something kind to her husband in a way that it's edifying, it really helps him out a lot more than telling him he's no good. It would be like a man coming into the house, you made a wonderful meal, and you ask him how it went, and he goes, that's the worst meal I've ever had in my life. That's what it would be like, sister. But he doesn't do it that day, just one day. He does it next week, and the next week, and the next week. And when you tell your husband, well, you know, you should spend more time with the kids, and you know, you're not really doing this, you're not really doing that, the guy goes, you know what, I can't do it. It overwhelms him. Another thing about being domineering is, I'm almost done, I'm moving on to the next part of the family, is defrauding. Defrauding. Now, I'm not going to be graphic, so relax. But when you tell him over and over, not tonight, I got a headache, and you know, he feels rejected, and he feels unloved. Now, pornography has crept into our churches. Okay, there's probably a man here tonight that's doing it. So in this crowd, absolutely. And 1 out of 9 Christian women are addicted to pornography now. 1 out of 9. So we can act like we can put our head in the sand and act like there's no problems. The problem is people are going to the world to get their idea of what true intimacy is and what it's not. Bible gives you every detail you need to know. It's an amazing book. But when there's a lot of defrauding going on, I got news for you. That man's going to find an outlet somewhere. And it's not going to be good. And the Bible says, defraud ye not one the other, except to be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now, I know a woman, and I counseled her and her husband. I know this for a fact because she said it, and her husband was there, that she would continually fast often so she could avoid. You know, that's not right. Men go through that, they feel rejected, and they feel unloved. I got news for you. You need the emotional, the man needs the physical. That's a fact. That's the way it goes. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm almost done. Colossians chapter 3. You with me tonight? Amen. It's not easy preaching this. Amen. Maybe I'll preach on tithing tomorrow. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Preaching on the home is not easy. We can, everything's fine in the home. Is it really? You know, you got people coming to church and all smiling. I got the Ken and Barbie smile and everything. Everything's fine. And then 6 months later, the pastor says, she gave me divorce papers. You know? I was preaching a message one time about some things in the home. And this guy called me up 6 months later and said, I was on the road truck driving and came home and found the note. Wife said, I'm gone, and took the teenage son. He said, but 6 months previous when you came through, Brother Brian, he said, God dealt with my heart and I should have went to the altar with my family and I didn't. I can't make you respond, folks. I can't make you care. I can't make you get right. But I can tell you one thing. God's going to put you in a position where he might bring some calamity in your home to get you right. And I'll be honest with you. I'd rather repent at the preaching of the Word of God than by the rod of God. I'd rather get right when the preacher gets up and says some things that are hard than deal with a casket or an ER situation. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6. All right, now you kids, you thought you were getting away. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to get you kids, amen. I'm just joking. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Now notice this, which is the first commandment of the promise. It goes back from the Old Testament. This is still in effect in the New Testament, this law right here. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. All right, Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. All right. Now, children in the home cause the devil to come down to their house in various ways. But what is the main thing that every parent wants their child to do? Obey. So, when the kids turn a deaf ear, you know, get this attitude, you know, come in church. I mean, I thank God for the youth tonight that sang. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I try to tell my kids, you don't want to mess up. You know, you try to teach them about purity, dressing right. Obeying your parents, listening to your parents. And sometimes, I don't know what it is. I mean, it makes it very clear, youth, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. It makes it very clear, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. My son, wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. I mean, ask Brother Kehoe and the other men that go into the prisons, well, why is it filled with a bunch of juvenile delinquents? Why? They don't want to hear instruction. They don't want to know any better. And how many saved youth has he met there? Probably a few. And they knew better, but they thought they knew better than their dad, or they knew better than their mom. You know, I'll be honest with you, parents don't like getting on their children. We don't like yelling at our kids. We don't like going around that. We don't want to get on you at all. As a matter of fact, we don't want to have those situations where we have to. As a youth, you need to respect your parents' authority. You understand that? Your mom and dad are in charge. They have lived life longer than you. I'm 39 years old. What do you possibly know more than me at 17 or 14? What do you know more than me? What do you know more than the preacher who's 60? Amen? No, I'm just joking. Let's see if you're paying attention. But you know, when you don't respect your parents' authority, it causes division in the home. It really, really does. I mean, as a youth, you need to do your best to not cause division between you and your parents. Let me give you an example. As a youth, you can drive a wedge between your mother and father. Did you know that? You can drive a wedge between your mother and father. There's kids that manipulate time and time again. I've seen it as a youth. You need to work at not manipulating one parent to get your way because the other one said no. Now, we have a law in our home. See, I'm law. My wife's grace. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, that's how it goes. I am the punisher. And please edit that. Amen. But I'm going to have some men in black knocking on my door. But we have a policy. I say no, you don't go to mom. You go to mom, it's double. See, I do that. You know what I mean? See, the way we grew up in family mafia, we start with the pinky. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. Is it healing up, son? Anyway, but yeah. But drive a wedge. Adonijah knew how to get to his mother, Bathsheba. Solomon saw right through it. He goes, we're going to ask for the kingdom as well. Remember that? I didn't write it, 1 Kings 1. And sometimes you young people know how to manipulate mom. Mom's all emotional. You know, you see these shows, you know, whenever we're out at a restaurant or something, and you know, be some kid locked up, you know, killed 30 people, ate 20 of them, and the mom's there, and they're interviewing her, and they're like, and she's like, what do you think? He's got a good heart. Why? He eats people. I mean, he invites you over for finger food. It literally is. I mean, but that's how moms are, right? Am I right or wrong? Oh, he's got, you know, always be there for him. You know what I mean? But the kids know how to work on mom. They know how to work on mom. Don't do that to your mom. Don't manipulate. Don't work on your dad. And through your mom, cause division. We have a policy in our home. It's this. You came after we married. You say, are you serious? Ask my kids. So you're going to leave one day. Mom's not. So mom comes first. That's messed up. Well, it's not. I'm to give myself for my wife, and then the next chapter is talking about kids. Parents. Spouses first, then kids. Oh, my little kid. I know, but read the Bible. It's an order for a reason. So I tell my kids, I love you very much, and I'll do anything for you, but you're not going to cause me and my wife to have a divorce. And you're not going to get in between us. That's it. Say, that's the way it goes? Mm-hmm. And I'm not changing, Lord willing. And I'm not going to let it change, Lord willing, to become teenagers and let everything fall apart. I don't know what it is. All of a sudden, the parents, they know some things are wrong. And then when the kid turns 16, all the standards they ever had goes out the window to keep the little kid at home. You know what that does? You know what my son said to me, my oldest son, you know what he said to me? He said, Dad, he says, sometimes I push you. He said, sometimes I push you to see how far you'll go and to see if you'll budge and break. And he said, I'm so glad you haven't compromised. My son said. As a youth, you know what else you need to do? Not only drive a wedge, just keep from driving a wedge, but you need to determine to have a good disposition. What does that mean? Attitude. You know? You talk to some young people and they got a really bad attitude. And some people have a good attitude. And I thank God for the good youth. And I thank God for the youth I met through the years have been a real, real blessing. But some of them, well, I don't know. Maybe they're related to Chucky. I don't know. I don't know. You know what I mean? The curse of Chucky's brother. I don't know. But and some of them are just so extremely difficult to get along with. And brothers and sisters, some of us can be very extremely difficult to get along with. And as a youth, you need to do your best to get along with your brother and sister. One time my kids were fighting, and I don't know if it ever happened with you. But I know for me it did. And I'm extreme. I'll be honest with you. I'm extreme. Whatever it is, let's do it. They were talking about the billboard of some church and all that. I'm like, where's it at? Let's go spray paint it. I'm thinking, it's great, man. That's, you know, whatever. I'm willing to do wild stuff. Anyway, so the meds have helped me, though. But anyway, so one time the kids were fighting. It was one of those days where they were fighting a lot. Ever had one of those days where they fight from morning to night? You know what I mean? Like, you come home to your wife, you're like, hey, honey, how's your day? You know those little troll dolls on the end of pencils? The fuzzy hair? And it goes, psh. And you look at your wife and you ask her how it went. Look at her. And it's like, you know, fighting. So one day they were really fighting. And I said, okay, enough. Stop. So tell you what. Why don't you just pray that one of you dies? And they looked at me like, what? I says, none of you get along. Let's pray one of you dies. It stopped. At least for that day. It worked. But you guys think I'm crazy. I am. It got on my nerves. Ever get on your nerves? I mean, right. I said, come on, man. Can't you get along? One time my mother was preparing pancakes for her 5-year-old and her 3-year-old. And they were arguing over who was going to get the first pancake. And their mother saw the opportunity to teach a great spiritual lesson. She said, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. And Kevin, the 5-year-old, turned to his younger brother and said to Ryan, who was 3 years old, Ryan, you be Jesus. You know? Yeah, they pick up quick. But you know, when you're fighting with your other siblings in the house, it really causes tension in the home. You need to learn how to get along with others in the home, because the whole home doesn't revolve around you. I mean, when your parents tell you to work out things with your brother and sister, do you? Or do you have to have things your way? As a youth, you need to decide to not let the devil come down to your house through defilement. Do you know there are young people that play witchcraft games on Xbox? Do you know that? Witchcraft is still witchcraft. You know, Blair Witch Project and, you know, Van Helsing stuff and all this stuff that, you know, in this new moon eclipse, you know, and why would you want that stuff and play games like that and watch movies like that? And why would you hide it behind your mom and dad's back? There are young people that download stuff and do things on cell phones. So how do you know this? Because I preach to youth camps. I mean, I preach to them every year. And the things they, you know, oh, my, I'm so glad my kid's reading, this one parent said. I'm like, Harry Potter? Oh, yeah, really. That's a really wonderful book, you know. I wonder how many of you have got things in your home your mom and dad don't know. I wonder how many of you are downloading things on your iPod or iPad or iPhone or MePhone or whatever you want to say it is, amen, and bring it into your house. There's a guy, and I'm not going to go into detail because, that, like I said, things get out and people know who you're talking about, but there's a guy who walked in on his 12-year-old son that was looking at internet pornography. Shook his head, walked out. You know what I would do? Well, I won't say it. You young people, you need to watch. We have a thing on our computer that they don't even know the code. Say, why? Say, what do you do with your laptop? It's out in the open. You can ask my kids. Say, why? I don't trust myself, and I don't trust my kids. My kids do not have a Facebook account. They don't need a Facebook account. They don't even need an email account. They don't even need a cell phone. Well, my kid needs this. My kids don't need cable in their room. I don't have cable. You got to be careful, parents, what you allow your kids to do. And you kids need to be careful what you bring in your house. And last of all, I want to say this. As a youth, you need to decide to help defend your family when Satan attacks. So how can you do it? I wonder how many of you young people got an attitude with your mom and dad. I wonder what kind of week you had with them. I wonder how many of you young people really pray for your parents every day. Pray for them every day? When was the last time you prayed for them? When was the last time you ever got on your knees with your dad and prayed with them or your mom? When was the last time you young people thought that maybe I owe my mom and dad? I mean, you owe your parents. And you ought to be praying for them every day. You can pray that God will keep them together and keep them from filing for divorce. That's a good thing to pray for, isn't it? You can pray that your mom and dad will be better parents because they feel like they're failures often. There's not a parent here that never felt like quitting. Am I right or wrong? You can be a help to your parents. You can be a spiritual help to your parents. When's the last time you young girls had a coping attitude with mom as you put your arm around mom and said, Mom, I'll do the dishes? When's the last time you picked up a broom? When's the last time you decided, young boys, to pick up the trash and throw it out? When's the last time you loved your mom and treated her with decency and respect? I'm asking you, young people, when's the last time you did that? We are not falling into this entitlement trap as parents. You want something? Buy it. You're not going to stay living with me at 35 years old playing Xbox. Getting an allowance and mom's washing your clothes. Forget it. Amen. And there are guys still getting an allowance from their mommy and daddy and still playing Xbox at 35 years old. I got news for you, young people. When's the last time you went to church with a good attitude? When's the last time you were excited about coming to church? You know, there are some parents, I go to church and they're like, pray for my kids. I'm like, well, they don't want to go to church. I'm like, well, how old? I'm thinking like 23, 25, 30, 14? What? You make them go. That's called character. There's sometimes you don't want to go to work, but you go anyway. Am I right or wrong? So how come you let a 14-year-old dictate to you what they're going to do? As long as they're living in your house, you're the boss. Am I right? At least I thought you were. You've got to be determined as a youth that by the grace of God, you're going to keep the devil out of your house. I want to ask you, young people, once again, how have you been treating your mom lately? How have you been treating your dad lately? Have you had an attitude, you know? Talk to the hand kind of attitude, you know? I told my kids, I said, just to let you know, I don't care how old you are, I can still spank you. I said, even if you're 27 years old, it doesn't stop. And I said, you leave home and you do this and that. And my kids looked at him all serious and intense. I looked at mom and mom goes, you know your dad. I'll make a phone call. I'll find where you're. I'm just joking. But I told my kids, I said, don't ever try to hit your mom. Don't ever raise a fist because that'll be the last. Amen? You young people, there is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. You better love your parents. I'm going to ask you tonight, and this is a hard message, I ain't going to lie to you, I know, but I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm done. Is the devil down at your house? Is the devil down at your house? Would you bow your head? You don't have to stand. Would you bow your head? Like I said, this ain't an easy message to preach, and I know it's pretty rough, but I try to add a little humor. Kind of make it a little bit palatable. But that will get down to home through the husband. Husbands, let me ask you tonight. No one looking around. Are you defending your home? You husbands loving your wives. Christ loved the church. You know, when a guy comes to me and says, my marriage is in a mess. I never had a guy one time tell me, preacher, my problem in my marriage is I love my wife like Christ loved the church. I never had a guy tell me, my problem is, preacher, I love my wife too much. I never had a guy tell me that. Let me ask you tonight, you men, are you the men of your home? Are you the leader of your home? Do you love your wife and dote on her and give her your undivided attention? Are you men the men you ought to be as far as leaders? I'm not trying to get on you, man. Maybe tonight you could ask God to help. I pray that God helps me be a better husband. I really do, because you know what? I haven't arrived or attained. Let me ask you tonight, the devil can get into home through the wife. Let me ask you, wives, let me ask you, how's your attitude been lately? You love your husband? You submit to him? you obey him? Well, if you knew who I was married to, I didn't say it'd be easy. All I'm saying is that's what the Word of God says. Even though Abram told his wife the lie, just bear with me for a minute. I'm not advocating doing wrong, but God still protected Sarah. Sometimes your husband's going to make dumb decisions. I mean, dumb. But I got news for you. You just have a meek and quiet spirit, and God will protect you. God will help you. There are times I looked at my wife and I go, well, I'm glad I didn't do that. And my wife says, well, I was praying for you. I'm glad for a wife like that that prays for me. How about you ladies? You praying for your husband lately? You love your husband lately? Have you been a little domineering lately? Would you say you're a little bit overbearing? I mean, you mean well. Have you been defrauding? Have you been deceitful? Have you been discouraging him? The devil can get home to the youth. I'm going to ask you young people tonight. Are you defending your home? Or are you letting the devil in? Some of you young people have let things in your home your mom and dad don't know. Some of you young people have treated your mom like dirt and your dad. Some of you have an attitude. Now, I'm not going to drag it on, but I'm going to ask you tonight. Is the devil down at your house? The devil down at your house? I'm going to be at the altar praying. And I'm going to be praying that God helps me in my home. I have room for improvement, folks. I haven't arrived or attained anyway. I could definitely be a better husband, a better father. How about you? How about you ladies? Could you use some improvement in the area of being a godly woman? How about you young people? Let me ask you tonight. How many of you young people would be willing to get right with your mom tonight? How many of you young people would be willing to go up to your mom now and ask her to pray with you? How many of you young people tonight, you boys, would be willing to go to your dad and say, I'm sorry? Say, preacher, we want revival. We want a breakthrough. I'll tell you how you're going to get it. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And you're not going to see revival. You're not going to have a strong church without having a strong home. The reason why our nations are in a mess is not because of the churches, folks. The families are a mess. Tonight, I wonder, man, how many of you young people say, preacher, pray for me. Any young people tonight? Say, preacher, pray for me. I wonder how many of you husbands say, pray for me. I wonder how many of you women say, pray for me. Folks, I'll tell you right now, the best thing you can do is humble yourself tonight. Hug your wife. Love your wife. Man, before someone else does. Wife, treat your husband with respect before someone else does. I can't emphasize to you enough the importance, folks. If just a few of you tonight would get a hold of this, it'll radically change your home. You'll have peace in your home. Some of you haven't had peace in a long time. Some of you, it's fighting all the time. Some of you sisters fight with your brothers. Man, you treat your brother like dirt or your sister like dirt. Man, I don't have a brother or a sister. I don't even have a dad. My dad left my mom when she was 6 months pregnant. I don't even know what my dad looks like. I came from a dysfunctional home. And some of you got a mom and dad that love God. You say, well, they're not what they... Yeah, but neither are you. Neither are you. Man, what a blessing it is to have, I mean, a mom and dad serving God. Now, the only people I have like that is my mother-in-law and father-in-law. They both go to Rick Sal's church in Toledo, Ohio. Hope Baptist Church. And my mom and father-in-law love God. They are my mom and dad. I mean, they're a blessing. But man, some of you've been taught the Word of God. You know the Word of God. Man, your mom and dad are doing the best they can. I'm begging you people tonight. Some of you still won't surrender. Some of you still won't come. You know what it is? I'll tell you the root problem. Pride. She needs to get right. No, man, you need to get right. He needs to get right. No, sister, you need to get right. I'm going to be at the altar praying. If God has spoke to you tonight, maybe you need prayer. Maybe you're a man tonight. I'll be at the altar. You can slide up next to me and I'll pray with you, brother. Amen. Like I said, I covet your prayers for me. And I'll be praying for you tonight. Amen. I hope God spoke to you. I really hope that God helped you tonight with this message. And I really hope that you don't forget it.
Fairly often. And he's right when he says, young folks, and maybe it's even an encouragement to parents, that we folks that have been married a long time and have raised kids to adulthood, there's times that we feel like failures. And maybe there's times that we are. But you don't have to stay in that rut. You do not have to keep making the same decision over and over again. You do not have to keep failing in it. Learn to bite your tongue. Learn to not be obnoxious. Learn to not have a bad attitude. Is there anybody else that would like to come? Just, I'm not going to try to wring decisions out of anybody this week, but got a day of probing and prodding. That's what I've been praying for. Have you been probed and prodded so long and so much that you have developed a strategy to keep from moving when the Holy Spirit deals with you about something? Have you heard it often enough and experienced conviction enough that you've learned there's tactics you can take? You can wait, you can hang on, you can clutch the pew back and not actually make a move to make the thing right. Let's look this way. Turn to number 525. We're going to sing a few stanzas here. 525. Praise the Lord. Glad you guys were here all day today. And we look forward to a few more nights. Tomorrow night's Monday. We have a 7 o'clock meeting. Look forward to it. And if you didn't get a chance to fast last week, maybe it was a bad week for you or whatever, always start now, man. And it's been a good day. A probing day. That's what a revival meeting is supposed to be. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, right? Pierces. It's intrusive. Preaching, by definition, is intrusive.
Amen.
And so you've been intruded upon. It's a good thing. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you tonight for a day full of good things that have happened, been said. We've all been made uncomfortable at some level or another, Father, and reminded of our failures. That's not a bad thing. We need to be convicted about those failures and to move to change them. Pray, Father, you'd be with the preacher as he goes home tonight. I'm sure tired after a long journey day before yesterday. Getting ready to preach the first day of the meeting today. It's three services. So be with them as they go home tonight and settle in and get some rest and some refreshment with together. Pray you'd be with them. We look forward to tomorrow. I know that tomorrow is bound to bring some challenges with work and bosses and traffic and construction and all this stuff that can come and go. Father, I pray you'd help. I know there are some folks that are under the weather and sick. Pray you'd be with them. Father, help them to be able to get back on their feet, regain some strength, and get feeling better so they can be here the rest of the week. We desire to see fruit come from this meeting. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody.